Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Thousands of U.S. federal officials held investments in companies that their agencies oversee, a Wall Street Journal investigation finds. Plus, shares of S&P 500 companies are increasingly moving in lockstep.
It's potentially worrisome for investors who are trying to diversify and navigate a turbulent market.
And corporate deal-making drops by the largest amount since the financial crisis. It's Wednesday, October 12th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. And here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. President Biden has played down the likelihood of a recession. In an interview with CNN on Tuesday, the president said that were there to be a recession, it would be, quote, very slight. Biden said later of the recession risk, quote, look, it's possible. I don't anticipate it. Stocks fell on Tuesday during a volatile day of trading as worries rise about a recession. Investors have been struggling with the effects of decades-high inflation and the Federal Reserve's attempts to tame it with higher interest rates. Meanwhile, the U.S. federal deficit fell by $1.4 trillion in the latest fiscal year, according to a new estimate by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The CBO said the decline, down by half from nearly $2.8 trillion the prior year, was driven by a sharp increase in government revenue and a drop in spending. Shares of everything from tech giants to household goods companies and utility providers have been trading in lockstep over the past month. The S&P 500's one-month realized correlation, a measure of how stocks in the benchmark index have moved in relation to one another over the past 30 days, has climbed to its highest level since March 2020, according to Susquehanna International Group. A higher correlation means that stocks are all moving together, and that could potentially be worrying for investors. Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Steinberg explains.
Stocks have been trading together because investors are largely focused on macroeconomic news, and there's been conflicting economic data which have led them to flip-flop their bets on whether the Fed will maintain its pace of rate increases. So what that means is that many stocks are falling together and rising in tandem, although it's been a lot less rising in recent months as the S&P 500 is down 25% this year. And so it means there's really no salvation in various corners of the market when everything is rising or falling together.
And Japanese carmaker Toyota says it has begun producing cars at a new plant in Myanmar that had been on hold after the country's military seized power in a coup last year. The decision highlights a divide among foreign companies over whether to withdraw from the country, whose elected government was ousted in February 2021. According to the World Bank, close to two dozen major foreign companies had decided to suspend business operations in Myanmar as of the beginning of the year, and Toyota had previously been on that list. A spokeswoman for Toyota said the carmaker's business in Myanmar, including parts imports, manufacturing, and sales, is not directly related to state-owned and military-affiliated companies. Let's turn now to the world of corporate deal-making, or more accurately, the relative lack of deal-making through the first 9 months of 2022. That deal-making overall has fallen compared to a year earlier by the largest amount since the financial crisis, according to data provider Refinitiv. So why are deals drying up? Wall Street Journal CFO Journal reporter Kristen Broughton joins us now with some details on the story. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Luke.
Paint a more detailed picture, if you could, of the slowdown in deal making that we've seen so far this year, and what is really behind this?
Yeah, so mergers and acquisitions plunged in the third quarter compared to a year earlier. For the first 9 months of the year, they were down 34% to $2.81 trillion. That's the lowest level compared with the financial crisis, and it was really across the board. Advisors are saying that companies, you know, whereas 3 to 4 months ago would come to them and ask for initial conversations around financing options, around legal options. Even those conversations have dried up. And the reason for that is just sort of broad-based uncertainty, uncertainty about where the economy is going, uncertainty about the pace of future rate hikes, and just ongoing volatility in the stock market, which is making it difficult for some companies to feel comfortable with the final price.
Kristen, we are talking about a 30%+ drop in overall deal-making activity, but that still means there's quite a lot of deal-making going on. What can we say generally about the deals that are still going forward?
So deal-making is not grinding to a halt. It is down. Big companies with ready access to financing and really good credit ratings continue to move forward. You saw Adobe's acquisition of Figma, which is a workplace collaboration software company. You saw that deal get done in the quarter. That was Adobe's largest acquisition in its history. Additionally, some private equity firms that are sitting on lots of capital continue to move forward, though there has been a slowdown in that sector as well. Looking forward, this could be a moment where companies reassess what makes sense for them from a deal-making perspective. Some advisors and analysts say that divestitures and spinoffs could make more sense. Cross-border deals could also be an area of focus in the coming months and quarters, just given the relative strength of the US dollar compared to other currencies. But overall, deal-making is expected to remain a bit weak until companies have a bit more certainty about where the economy is headed.
That was Wall Street Journal CFO Journal reporter Kristen Broughton joining us from New York. Kristen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, a Wall Street Journal investigation has found that thousands of U.S. federal officials held investments in companies their agencies oversee. We'll have that story after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
A major investigation by the Wall Street Journal has found that thousands of officials across the executive branch of the U.S. government have reported owning or trading stocks that stood to rise or fall with decisions their agencies made. And joining us now to break down some of what this investigation has unearthed and the questions raised by those revelations is Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. She is part of the team of reporters that led the investigation, which included Brody Mullins, Chad Day, John West, Joe Palazzolo, James Grimaldi, and Coulter Jones. Rebecca, it's a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Take us through, if you could, what you and your colleagues found as a part of this investigation and how you found it.
Sure. So I covered the White House before joining our investigative team, and I had always been aware that for senior officials across the executive branch, like cabinet officials, like the president and his staff, it's possible to get their financial disclosures online. But I didn't quite realize that there are also thousands of other federal employees who file financial disclosures that are technically public, but that are very difficult to get because you need to go to each agency to request them often and going through several bureaucratic hurdles to do so. And so what we did here is we reached out to 50 different major federal agencies to get all their financial disclosure forms that are public for all of their senior employees. And that ended up being 31,000 financial disclosure forms covering the period from 2016 through 2021. And what we found really surprised us. I mean, I think we were not necessarily expecting to see that many individual stocks owned by federal officials. But what we found were that more than 2,600 officials at dozens of different agencies from the Commerce Department to the Treasury Department in both Republican and Democratic administrations were owning and trading stock in companies while those same companies were lobbying their agencies for favorable policies.
Did any examples of particular stock ownership or trading behavior really stand out?
Yes. I mean, there were a lot of instances that were pretty interesting. We had an EPA official who reported owning oil and gas stocks while serving in a senior role. You had a defense official who reported trading in, I think, more than 50 trades in a half dozen defense contractors, including one that was related to work that his office was doing at the time. You had the FDA had improperly allowed an official to own 70 different food and drug stocks that were on the agency's no-buy list. So there were a lot of different instances that sort of jumped off the page. And what was really striking is that in a lot of those instances, ethics officials had signed off on those holdings and found that they were fully complying with the law.
Yeah, Rebecca, I wanted to ask if some of what your team found in this investigation was illegal, unethical, or something else entirely.
We found a handful of instances where somebody seemed to clearly break the rules. And what was notable on those instances was that there were very few consequences. There was one official, for example, who the inspector general at her agency found that she had violated the law, referred her to the Justice Department. The Justice Department declined to take the case, and she ended up just getting additional training on financial conflicts of interest, and the case was closed. But for the vast majority of the instances we looked at, these officials are not breaking the law. And the reason for that is that there are so many exemptions in ethics rules that allow officials to own stocks that have an interest in decisions that their agencies are making. You can own up to $15,000 in an individual stock without it being considered a conflict of interest. In some cases, when you have holdings that exceed that, you can get a waiver that simply says it's fine for you to hold that stock and work on matters that relate to this. And the other thing is that ethics officials often don't know what employees across the agency are working on. They're reviewing thousands of reports for a number of different officials. And it can be very difficult, I think, to spot conflicts because a lot of time they're relying on what the officials are telling them about what their work is.
In terms of how all of this affects the functioning of the U.S. government, is it clear whether policymaking or regulation were affected because of these financial holdings on the part of officials?
I think that's very difficult for us to say. I do think from speaking to ethics experts, it seems like at the very least, these investments call into question some of the federal government's activity and can sort of raise the question of whether people were acting for personal gain or in the public interest. And I think that's precisely what the conflict of interest rules are intended to avoid. And these examples sort of show how that's not entirely working.
And finally, Rebecca, how have the agencies involved in this investigation responded to your reporting?
For the most part, they've emphasized that ethics officials have signed off on these, that they're complying with the rules as they're set by Congress and as their additional regulations that are set by the Office of Government Ethics. There's notably a lot of leeway left up to individual agencies on whether they need supplemental rules to add on to the conflict of interest law, which says that officials can't work on matters that affect their personal financial holdings. Some agencies do employ tighter restrictions on what you can own and trade, for example, the FDA, as I mentioned, but other agencies simply don't do that. And so if officials are trading in companies that are overseen by their agencies and it's not against that agency's rules, they say it's not a problem.
That was Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Rebecca Ballhaus. Rebecca, thank you very much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It turns out teens are still asking their parents to pick up the bill at clothing retailer Hollister, whether or not they're shopping for jeans and sweaters in malls anymore. And now those teens have a new way to pass the bill online. Hollister, which is owned by Abercrombie & Fitch, is rolling out a system called Share to Pay that will let its online shoppers, the majority of whom are in high school, to pass their online carts over to an adult with the ability to pay for them via text. Journal reporter Katie Dayton says that Hollister hopes the system leads to fewer abandoned carts.
They've noticed that their customers are being hit a little bit more by inflation. So because they're teenagers, they don't have spending power in the first place, they're definitely going to be hit by price rises. So they noticed their sales dropped in the Hollister group with 15% for the last quarter. They know that a lot of their shoppers are always shopping through an app or online in any case. And if they can do what they can to at least prevent that one tangible obstacle, which is the fact they don't have a credit card, they're hoping that can translate into way more sales for them going forward.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.